James Golden, a.k.a. Bo Snerdly, on 77 WABC, the crown jewel of American radio.
You got that right. It sure is. This is James Golden, a.k.a. Bo Snerdly, with you here. Welcome back. If you'd like to be part of today's program, please give us a call. We anxiously await speaking with you. 800-848-WABC is the number to call. 800-848-9222. And we have so much to discuss. Of course, Afghanistan is going to be in the news, I don't know, for how long. A very long time to come. But there are so many other things in the news. I think maybe we'll, before we get into the heavy Afghanistan stuff and the heavy politics stuff of the day, the COVID news, maybe we'll just do a few one-offs, or maybe not, okay? We'll start off here, and Diana Mee, the American Princess of Policy, our domestic policy advisor, will be joining us very shortly, and of course your calls. So let's start off in this place. Gone too far, this is from Zero Hedge. Gone too far, Taliban paints over George Floyd mural in Kabul. After successfully completing their takeover in Afghanistan, the Taliban has been painting over murals and replacing them with proclamations of victory. Well, one of the murals they painted over to declare victory was one that featured Black Lives Matter's icon, George Floyd. And, wow. So The Guardian, I think, confirmed that it was indeed, and there's a picture of them, you know, painting over it. I suggest to members of Antifa and BLM, why don't you guys go over there and get the Taliban's mind straight? Go over there and tell them that they're not supposed to do this, to start painting over your heroes' icons. And then let us know how that works out for you. Yeah. Virginia today cut Confederate Robert E. Lee statue into pieces. Yep, that's the AP headline. Virginia cuts Confederate General Robert E. Lee statue into pieces. Crowd erupted in cheers and song. Work crews hoisted an enormous statue of Confederate General Robert E. Lee off the giant's pedestal, where it had towered over Virginia's capital city for more than a century, was lifted down to the ground just before 9 a.m. Yep, the crowd was jubilant. This is a long time coming. Oh, this is Governor Northam. Let me adjust for a moment. This was a long time coming. Part of the healing process, so Virginia can move forward and be a welcoming state with inclusiveness and diversity, said Governor Ralph Northam. Governor Ralph Blackface Northam. See, it's okay for me to be blackface, but it ain't okay to have this guy sitting up on the horse. The Democrat, Governor Ralph Northam, said it represents more than 400 years of history that we should not be proud of. And then he congratulated his fellow Virginians for supporting the removal of old General Lee. Okay. To which comes this from Twitter. Brian Daugherty tweeted this out. By the time Democrats are done, there won't be a single statue commemorating Democrats. That's right. He's got that absolutely right. Taliban, New York Post, Taliban official says women will be barred from playing sports in Afghanistan. Well, you knew this was coming. Everybody knew this was coming. You're not allowed to have music anymore. They killed some poor old musician over there the other day. Guy was just, you know, strumming his fate. And they killed him because they don't like music. They don't like dance. They don't like music. They don't like women. And so women, Amadullah Wasik, the deputy head of the Taliban's Cultural Commission. Cultural? You call this culture? Never mind, be nice. Amadullah Wasik, the deputy head of the Taliban's Cultural Commission, told SBS News in an exclusive interview on Wednesday that women and girls in the country won't be able to play cricket or any other sport because such activities aren't considered vital for them. I don't think women will be allowed to play cricket because it's not necessary that women should play cricket. In cricket, they might face a situation where their face and bodies will not be covered. Islam does not allow women to be seen like this. Yep. Guess who's back in charge? By the way, not to be a fearmonger, because I never like it when the media does it, but there is a story that a Category 3 hurricane is moving through the Atlantic. This is hurricane a week after Hurricane Ida smacked us here in New York. This is Hurricane Larry. Right now, it's churning up the waters near Bermuda. Not expected to make landfall in the United States of America, but forecasters say it will be powerful enough to be felt along the East Coast. They are predicting swells on the coast, dangerous rips and surf. So just pay attention. The story we just did, you know, women not allowed to have sports, women not allowed to be anything but what the Taliban wants them to be, which is pretty much their sperm depositories. That's what how they view women, their sperm depositories. That's it. Oh, and cooking and cleaning. Like, you know, real 14th century view of women. So there are four prisoners that Obama, our dear president, beloved president, Barack Hussein Obama, exchanged for Bo Bergdahl. And these four are now in senior Taliban post. Four out of the five Guantanamo detainees whom former President Barack Obama released in exchange for former U.S. Army Sergeant Bo Bergdahl, that was 2014, now hold senior positions in the interim, and I will add, all-male government created by the Taliban in Afghanistan. Uh-huh. And you want to know. Oh, poor CNN. Here's another one off. They're below 1 million viewers. It's worse even in prime time. I don't want to do schadenfreude, so I'll just move past it, but their numbers are not looking so good over at CNN. The State Department obstruction of private rescue flights in Afghanistan has been revealed. That in a leaked email. Now, our Secretary of State, Blinken, Anthony Blinken, has been saying that, oh, no, no, everything's tickety-boo over there. Everything's tickety-boo. There are no hostages over there. You know, everybody's out there wants to get out. No, we're not stopping anybody. Oh, foolish. Come on, don't be silly. We're not stopping anybody from leaving. Well, there was a leak. And according to this leaked email, the State Department has refused to grant official approval for private evacuation flights from Afghanistan to land in third countries, even though the State Department conceded that official authorization would likely be needed for planes to land in those nations. So in other words, the State Department, Joe Biden's State Department, is deliberately with their buddies, the working hand in hand with the Taliban to apparently keep people in Afghanistan, despite all the claims to the contrary. I mean, this is insidious. It was Glenn Beck the other day who had I don't know exactly what the Beck Empire, how many planes they had and all of it, but they had sent planes over to try to help get Americans and other people out, and they were denied. And at the time, you will recall, Blinken State Department was asked about all of this, and they're like, no, of course not. Don't be silly. We're not stopping anybody from helping. Well, apparently, Mr. Blinken has a problem with the truth. Republican senators had asked the Biden administration to let them know how many Americans were left, exactly how many. And they gave the president until Tuesday, 5 o'clock. Well, that came and gone, and all they got was the finger back. We don't care what you Republicans ask for. We could care less. That is the state of things, or part of the state of things, in Afghanistan. Another one, Taliban's new interior minister is a terrorist on the FBI's most wanted list. And there are reports that he is holding an American hostage. Meanwhile, Joe Biden is out talking about climate change. Blinken's out telling everybody everything's tickety-boo. We have no problem over there in Afghanistan. And this administration has been working quietly behind the scenes to make sure that people trapped over there stay over there, because they won't let private American concerns and other concerns help get them out, which is what Joe Biden had promised to do. It is rather sickening. 848-WABC is the number to reach us here. James Golden at K.A. Snurley. When we come back, domestic policy advisor Diana Mee joins us, Princess Di, and then we'll be taking your calls. Back soon.
It's time for Radio Royalty with James Golden and America's Princess of Policy, Princess Di.
That's about right. Hello, Princess Di. Welcome to our show. How are you this afternoon?
I am fabulous. How about you, James?
Oh, I am doing okay. A little bit, you know, I'm still kind of stunned by this back and forth business with Blinken. And not one, it's a different story every day with this guy and with this entire administration, but oh well.
Oh well.
Which brings me to the point. There is an editorial, an op-ed in the Old Gray Lady today. That would be the New York Times. Another failed presidency at hand. And I wanted to get your take on this. I found it interesting when I perused it, and I said, I wonder what more domestic policy advisor would think of this. So please do tell. Do tell.
Well, this is really entertaining because it's by Brett Stevens, who is a never-Trumper. He's a columnist now, regular columnist for the New York Times. He's former editorial page director of the Wall Street Journal. He is, like many of the never-Trumpers, believes that the only true conservative left is a Biden voter. So a year ago, he called himself a Biden conservative in the New York Times, and he predicted how wonderful a Biden presidency was going to be and how Biden wasn't going to drive the country into a ditch. He was going to bring back loyalty and decency. So today's article should be titled, I Was Wrong About Everything. And so he really, all of a sudden, he doesn't really refer to what he claimed would happen during a Biden presidency, but he does admit, he said, Joe Biden was supposed to be a calming presence, exuding decency, moderation, and trust, a father figure who would restore dignity and prudence to the Oval Office. That's why I voted for him. And then he recounts instead all the other bad things that have happened. And he basically is focusing on Afghanistan. He's shocked that Biden was behaving as a liberal. And I want to point out something very interesting. There's a bookend to this piece in Politico today called There's No Good News, Biden's Rough Summer Puts
Yes.
on High Alert. You saw that.
I have it in my news stack.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, here's the two numbers that I think are influencing both these articles, the number 54 and the number 63. Do you know what those two numbers may represent?
Explain.
Okay. The number 54 was how many Republicans won in the Clinton first midterm election.
Wow.
It flipped the House and also eight senators. 63 was the number under Obama, his first midterm. 63 seats went Republican. So all of a sudden, when Biden has a slim margin, he can only lose two. It's now 220 to 212 Dems over Republican seats. And so really, it takes a 218 majority to win a vote in the House of Representatives. And so if the Dems lose two, not much less 54 or 63, which it looks likely with the anger being built for the midterms, I think that all of a sudden, a lot of the political graybeards, the wise ones, are looking at this is going to be a wipeout in the midterms. And they're starting to put the little red flags out there that this is looking really dangerous. And I think Bret Stephens is a reliable establishment figure for the Republican side. And he is now acting shocked that this is a mess now. And I do think that's the larger context, that all of a sudden the establishment figures are looking at the poll numbers. They're looking at the anger. They're looking at the, you know, whenever Biden goes anywhere, there are certain chants that get.
Yes,
said,
it's the FU chant, F Biden. Every she shows up in New Jersey. They've got signs. F yes. Biden. You got kids sticking their middle finger up, which I think, by the way, is disgraceful.
Yeah, you don't teach
your young children to at least teach them to respect the presidency, even if it is being inhabited by this man.
I didn't do that. I agree with you completely. However, that does point to the growing anger out there. This Afghanistan thing, the events, the debacle, where literally we did such an un-American thing of leaving troops behind, leaving Americans behind. We don't do that. That is something that is not a partisan position. And I think it shocked regular people. The inside the beltway, people are trying to pivot and go to domestic and talk about other things. But this is going to reverberate for years.
Well, I will remind you that the first ever Golden TIPP poll, the Golden Tip poll yesterday, from the most accurate pollster in America, that's who we're working with to do these polls, every demographic, including Democrats, the majority of Democrats disapprove of Joe Biden's handling of Afghanistan. When you say there's a lot of anger about it, it is bipartisan anger. This is not just a partisan position.
And I think that this was possibly a fatal error for Biden, because as with Bush Sr., when he ran on no new taxes, and then he raised taxes, that really collapsed his presidency. Joe Biden was supposed to be an adult. That's how this was sold to American people, American voters, which is the adults are back in the room. You're not going to have the Trump whatever chaos. And to have this be the first major geopolitical decision that people know about, how is this adult? This isn't even American to leave our people behind. It is inexcusable. And the fact that they seem to have done it on purpose and they have no story as to how this came about other than, yep, we're leaving them, is, I think, going to reverberate for more than just the midterms. I think this is going to affect elections going forward for you.
Now, I want to go to one of those numbers you said, because you said under the Obama number, what was the number under Obama, the losses?
63 for his first midterm, 63.
Okay,
so, now, that was where he called it a shellacking, if you recall.
I do recall that, but the number wasn't 63. The number was over 700. I forgot the exact number.
Right.
The real number was over 700.
Yes.
Right. Because they lost they lost state legislatures. Democrats were wiped out. I remember Rush used to talk about it. He said, down to the dog catchers. They were wiped out down to the dog catchers. Right?
Yes, exactly right.
Right. And so I think that's what is happening now. And I think part of that is going to be the other issues that are going on the local level. You pointed out that on one of our Saturday shows that people are coming out of their houses and going to school board meetings to protest this critical race theory crap being put into their schools against their wishes. They are becoming aware of what is happening on the local level. I will also tell you that everyone sees the pictures, Diana. I'm sure you've seen the pictures of these hoodlums walking out of Lowe's with shopping carts filled with stolen merchandise.
Yep.
And no one stops them.
It's basically legal now to steal.
It is legal to steal.
Illegality is legal. Which people cannot understand in regular America. It's inconceivable. And also, don't forget, James, you've got inflation, which is insane. I don't know if you heard the spokesperson today on the Biden team basically saying, well, if you don't count the cost of pork and beef and chicken, and he named all these other things. Well, in that case, inflation isn't so bad. Well, yeah. I mean,
if you don't count the stuff that people buy, inflation is not a problem.
Yes. So you have rising crime, as you mentioned, you have inflation, you have the pocketbook issues, the dinner table issues, as they used to be called, the things that affect regular people. Plus, what they see is very damaging to our troops who we love, which is not a partisan position. And the 13 dead. I think that you have a growing confluence of assumptions among regular people that Biden is bad news. And that, I think, is going to determine the politics going forward, no matter what they try and pivot away from.
Well, I believe that you're right, and I think that they have every reason to be nervous. Maybe not this Saturday, but I definitely want to talk with you about that story that I dug up the other day. And I did not spend enough time with it yesterday. This was the one that out of Baltimore, where this kid thinks he's going to graduate high school. And it turns out in Baltimore that over the past 4 years of high school, Diana, 4 years in high school, he has passed exactly three classes in 4 years. And he's in the top 0.5% of his school in terms of students. I mean,
it's criminal. I mean, what is being done to an entire generation of kids who are stuck in these schools? I think that there's no excuse, and I don't understand why there isn't political accountability for this.
I do not either, and I think that, this is one of the things that I think has to happen. And I cannot tell you how much that story bothered me. And in the story, as you get into it later, they put the mom up almost as she's some sort of victim in this, too. The school didn't tell her how bad her son was doing. But, Diana, if you are in the house with your kid at least some of the time and they're in school, don't you see if they're studying? Don't you see if they're doing well? Why haven't you been up to the school in 4 years? You've never made a trip there to find out how your own kid is doing in school. I think that this,
during COVID, there was no excuse because you're in the room. You see, you know, what's being done on Zoom in the classroom. I mean, this was across the whole country that parents, that's one of the reasons that parents are getting involved more, because they saw what was being taught. So I agree with you. There's a lot of blame in this kid's life. But
this is widespread in
cities. That needs to stop.
This kid is in the top half of his class.
Yeah.
He passed three classes in 4 years, and he's still in the top half of his class. What does that say about what is
the others? Yeah.
Right. And then let's extrapolate that out of Baltimore into every other blue city. And you want to know, Diana, if we don't get a handle as a nation on this, we are doomed as a nation.
you are absolutely right. I think it's a national emergency. And it has to be, you know, how Biden's always talking about an all-of-government approach. He's talking about that for climate change and other things. But this should be not only an all-of-government approach to solve this, an all-of-society approach. Churches, all of our institutions need to go into emergency room because this is our future. Absolutely.
Exactly.
Right.
This is the future of America. Diana Mee, domestic policy advisor, thank you. We will anxiously see what you bring to our radio table on Saturday and for the Saturday show. And thank you so much. We do appreciate
you. Thank you, James. Appreciate you. Bye.
All righty. Bye-bye. James Golden, a.k.a. Bo Snerdly here, WABC Talk Radio 77. Yes, we are going to take your calls after this. Don't go away.
Bo knows politics. And so much more. A true connection to real New York on 77 WABC.
WABC. Talk Radio 77, New York. This is one of my favorite bumpers of all time. It's Maxwell bringing us back here to WABC, the crown jewel of American radio. It is time to head to the telephones, and I have some other stories I want to get to before we get out of here today. So, Rich, where are we heading?
Good afternoon, James. I'm sorry.
Good afternoon.
First, let's go to Mike in Easton, Pennsylvania.
Easton, Pennsylvania. Hi, Mike. Welcome to WABC. How are you?
Hello.
Hey, what's going on, Mike?
How are you, James?
Listen, I'm good.
I'm calling about the president coming in, marching into New York, talking about the global warming and all.
Yeah.
The reason why they had such a problem in Queens, in Flushing, and I'm originally from Brooklyn. They've taken one family, two family homes, and made them into six family homes. Six family homes, that means there's an extra four bathrooms, four kitchens. The infrastructure as the system in New York cannot keep up. Don't even clean the sewers or anything. That's why they had all their floods. They've been having them for years, but now they have this agenda for global warming, and it's all BS. And that's why they come in marching in, they take a tragedy, and they make it, you know.
You know what, Mike? This is why I love you. I love the callers here, because we've been talking about this, and all of us who know the way things work in New York, who know the way things used to work in New York. If you lived in any of the outer boroughs, not necessarily Manhattan, but if you lived in the outer boroughs and you grew up in the outer boroughs, you will remember that there would be these huge trucks that would come around and they would dredge your sewer systems every 2 years or so because to keep everything from flooding. And that's what they had to do. Now, most of you in New York in the outer boroughs, you can't remember the first time you've seen somebody out there dredging and taking care of the sewer systems. And here's the other point that I raised, and I'm going to make it again, if you don't mind. One of the newspapers, could have been the Times or the Post, they did an analysis of what happened in New York. And they said, well, you know, the New York infrastructure hasn't kept up to times. This New York infrastructure was built to contain 1.7 inches of rain per hour that falls. And when Ida came through, we had over 3 inches at the high point. We had 3 inches of rain per hour. To which I say this. Let's assume that everything you people on the left have been telling us about global warming is true, even though we know it's not. But let's not argue. Let's not fuss. You've been telling us for the past 30 years that we're going to see more intense storms, that we're going to see floods. In fact, you predicted that Miami would be underwater. You predicted that New York and coastal areas in the eastern seaboard would be flooded. If you knew this, and you've been busy telling us this, and you've been spending trillions and trillions of dollars, why haven't you fixed it? And don't tell me that we have $3.8 trillion for infrastructure now, because most of that money isn't going for infrastructure. In fact, of this infrastructure bill that just got passed through the Senate and the House, not the House, the Senate, only 6% of the money goes to real infrastructure product. The rest of it, it's a welfare bill. So either way on this, government has failed. And you cannot tell me that you in the government don't know about these illegal apartments. You don't know how many there are in the city. Disgraceful. Thank you for the call, Mike. Rich, where are we going next?
Next, we will say hi to Tricia in Trumbull, Connecticut.
Hello, Trumbull, Connecticut. Welcome, Tricia. How are you?
Well, Bo, I'm terribly disturbed about the poor education in this, the ignorance in this country, not only like what you were describing in Baltimore, but obviously the ignorance of voters. And I believe that most people in this country would have been better educated by listening to talk radio than they have been in the public schools. And
I agree with that.
And also, I'm just, on a humorous note, going to suggest you refer to CNN as the Communists and Nut Jobs Network. And we need to take the little Humpty Dumpty Brian Stelter and push him off the wall.
That's right. He doesn't even have to be pushed off the wall. They don't have any ratings anymore. The audience has kind of done that for what's little left of the audience over there. It's just kind of pathetic, actually. Tricia, let me ask you a question. Were you as disturbed? That story in Baltimore really bothered me. Am I making too much of it?
No. No, it's appalling.
It bothers me that how do you have a kid that passes three classes in 4 years, and he's in the top half of the class?
It's insane, but when you look at the man on the street interviews of people attending college or even college graduates, and they can't even name the parts of the government, the Constitution set up, and we've got people that, you know, are just so ignorant. They believe you can vote for somebody that has dementia and somebody that's a congenital liar like Biden, and that the country can survive this. There's a quote I love. Apparently, it's misattributed to Groucho Marx. Politics is the art of looking for trouble, finding it everywhere, diagnosing it incorrectly, and applying the wrong remedies. I don't know who said that, actually, but perfectly describes Biden and so many others in Congress and all these career politicians.
It certainly does. Trisha, I love the call. Please call us back. Thank you.
Welcome to the golden age of radio. James Golden, a.k.a. Bo Snerdly, is on 77 WABC.
For every minute that I get a chance to spend with you here at the radio station you grew up with, the radio station that we love, WABC. It is Talk Radio 77, New York City. And you know what, folks? Rich, what time is it?
James, it's time for the James Golden Clip of the Day.
This is the James Golden Clip of the Day.
People are beginning to realize this is much, much bigger than anyone was willing to believe. And a whole segment of our population denying this thing called climate change. Right. But I really mean it. Sometimes my mother used to say, out of everything bad, something good will come if you look hard enough for it. Well, I think we've all seen, even the climate skeptics are seeing, that this really does matter. And it's not just whether or not people who are just trying to get by in these homes, in these alleys here, working their butts off, do well. It's people in high towers along the shore who find that as this rain and all this change takes place in the groundwater, the buildings are actually beginning to tilt. 100-story buildings. This goes so far beyond what anybody's willing to speak to up to now.
Yeah. Let's speak to the government failing its citizens. Let's speak to that, Joe, instead of trying to blame it on what you call climate deniers. And let's also speak to what's going on in American cities. ABC News, four-year-old killed, seven other children hurt. This was the past weekend in Chicago. The four-year-old boy was killed in his home, and I don't have to go into details. This is a weekly story. Here's a story from Fox News today. Minnesota man freed by Kamala Harris supported bail fund now charged with murder. George Howard accused of deadly shooting during a road rage altercation. Okay, this bond fund, and one of the reasons why there's so much crime is because in blue cities, they're letting the criminals out of jail under the belief that holding them with bail is racist. And this is what Kamala Harris was involved in, these bail funds to help spring criminals from jail. They get sprung, and they're right back on the streets terrorizing and murdering citizens. Here is Daily Mail. Rookie, New York City Uber driver, 21, dies 3 days after being accidentally shot by boy, 15. New York Post, rat-infested homeless encampment turns New York City block into a nightmare. And this is in Tribeca. And it's a nightmare because there's lawlessness, can't get people out of the street. It's turned into a vermin-infested situation there, but they're used to this. You go to Seattle, it's one massive homeless dump. You go to Oregon, more homelessness. California, it's ridiculous. These are all liberal cities, folks. RFK wife, ABC News. Ethel Kennedy says assassin shouldn't be released. The prosecutor in L.A. didn't even show up to try to keep Robert Kennedy's assassin in jail. They want him out. Some of the family members do, but the wife, Ethel Kennedy, who remembers all of this, I bet like it was yesterday, oh, hell no, don't let him out. Let's stay in California. Flags honoring 13 U.S. service members killed in Kabul airport attack vandalized in Riverside, California. The flags to honor our dead have been vandalized in Riverside, California. Let's turn on your TV. Jimmy Kimmel. Jimmy Kimmel says unvaccinated people should not get ICU beds. This is on his return show after taking the summer off. He comes back to TV. The first thing out of his mouth is that people that have not been vaccinated should not get a bed. And he says, and then he called them a name. And part of the name was, yes, we've still got a lot of pan dimwits out there, Kimmel continued. People are still taking this ivermectin. This is just, you know, Jimmy Kimmel, rapid phones. I don't even want to. I'm trying so hard to avoid calling people names, because I don't want to do it. But this guy really ticks me off. This arrogant, so-called host, so-called comic. This guy had so many misogynistic things. They just threw this guy off of Jeopardy for things in the past. Go look at Jimmy Kimmel's past. Why in the hell is he even working late night TV? Rapid phones, where are we going, Rich?
All right, James, let's go to Carol in New Jersey.
Carol, thank you for calling, darling. What is your point?
Hi, James.
Hi.
I'm as outraged as you are about the schools in Baltimore, because from junior high through college, I was expected to pass six classes every semester. And I always did well because my parents, I just happened to be a good student, but my parents insisted that I do well. I find that absolutely outrageous. I blame the teachers and I blame the parents.
Yes, and let's say the student shares some blame in this too. During the 4 years where he passed three classes and still remains at the head in the top 50 percentile in his school, he missed 272 days of school. Carol, thank you for the call. Where are we going next, Rich?
Next, let's go to Roger in Brooklyn, James.
Hello, Brooklyn. Hello, Roger. How are you?
Hello, sir. Thank you very much indeed. Listen, 1 hour goes so fast, right?
I know.
Oh, as you understand. It goes very rapidly. Now, I have a humble suggestion, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
Why not devote the last 5 minutes or so to callers who called uninterruptedly, speak their minds for 20 seconds or thereabouts, calling that rapid-fire segment. Therefore, you know, people who are calling, you know, a whole lot of them.
Your 20 seconds is up. Roger, that's what we're trying to do. Thank you, my friend. We appreciate you. Thanks for the call. Call us back. Where are we going next?
We are going next to John in Hicksville.
John, welcome to the show. How are you? This is James Golden, a.k.a. Bo Snurley, WABC. John Katz, keep the radio on after I'm over. John Katz at night coming up. John, what's on your mind?
Yes, John. Can you hear me?
I hear you fine. What's up?
Okay. The 9/11 memorial coming up this Saturday at in Manhattan. Is Joe Biden supposed to speak?
Joe Biden is supposed to make an appearance. Now, whether he's going to make an appearance at the memorial or not, I don't know. We will be on the air on Saturday. We will be covering the events of the 20th anniversary of 9/11. And what if he is, what is your point?
My point is he showed absolutely no respect by looking at his watch and those caskets coming off the plane, right?
This is true.
Right? Yes. So why should we show him any respect if he tries to go to the microphone? I feel you cannot boo him. It's too disrespectful. But I feel an idea would be great is if everyone starts singing God Bless America.
Well, you know what? Here's what I think. I think people shouldn't disrespect that service at all. It is a solemn event. Joe Biden will get his in the voting booth. Do we have time for one more or two? Rich, that's where we're going next.
Sure. Let's go to Mike in Flushing.
Flushing, Queens. Hi, Mike. What's on your mind?
Hiya, Bo. I'll be quick. I've been a licensed master plumber servicing Flushing for the last 52 years. And 39 to 45 years ago, these sewers were backing up. Add to that the tall buildings. Add to that the illegal apartments. And what do you expect? The fecal matter is going to hit the fan. It's nothing to do with global warming.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Mike. Rich, where are we going next?
All right, let's finish with Ron out on the island.
Ron on Long Island. Welcome, WABC. James Golden, a.k.a. Snurley, with you. What's up?
Thanks, James. First of all, love your show. Love your wisdom, your insights and comments and all. God bless you. And I want to say, we're talking about the Joe Biden, the Afghanistan debacle. Well, Obama, Joe Biden as vice president, and Hillary Clinton, Secretary of State, did the same thing in Libya. They invaded the country and left our troops in Benghazi, the famous Benghazi. And they left them there with hundreds of our support team, left them there to die. They fended for themselves, and they made that alive. But we never hear about that. So I think it's a good message for not just our military,
thank
but
you,
our allies.
Thank you, Ron. You nailed it. This is James Golden. We will be back tomorrow, same time, same place. Please be here each and every day. And always remember, folks, we are privileged. We live in the greatest city in America. And I'm talking about those of us in Pennsylvania, in New Jersey, in New York City, in Connecticut. This is all New York. Okay? And we live in the greatest nation humanity has ever seen or witnessed. God bless you. God protect you. James will be back with you tomorrow.